Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
Earlier this morning, he was on his way to school, and when the sudden raid started in Jenin, the Israeli forces shot at people, and he was among them.
Deadly Israeli raids continue in the occupied West Bank, this time in Jenin, where soldiers killed at least seven Palestinians, including a doctor and a teenager. We'll get an update from an actor with the Jenin Freedom Theater who escaped to nearby Nablus from the Jenin refugee camp just as the attack began. Then the Gaza Solidarity Encampment at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor is the latest to be violently dismantled by police. We'll speak with University of Michigan student Salma Hamami. She was pepper sprayed and beaten by police in Tuesday's raid. We'll also look at how the new school here in New York has joined at least seven other schools reaching an agreement to explore divestment from Israel. We'll speak with new school professor Alexandra Chasen, part of the faculty Gaza encampment, and the negotiating team that pressured the university's trustees to agree in a divestment vote, and Natasha Leonard, associate director of the new school's creative publishing and critical journalism master's program, a columnist for The Intercept, where her latest piece looks at how university professors are losing their jobs over what she describes the new McCarthyism on Gaza. And we speak with the New Republic's Kate Aronoff about why Biden's 100% tariff on Chinese electric vehicles is a bad idea. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In an historic move, Ireland, Norway, and Spain have announced they'll recognize Palestine as an independent state, becoming the first European nations to do so. Norway's Prime Minister, Jonas Gahr Støre, spoke in Oslo.
There can be no peace in the Middle East without Palestinians and Israelis having their own states, and that there is a two-state solution. There cannot be a two-state solution without a Palestinian state. And in other words, peace in the Middle East requires a Palestinian state.
Ireland's new Prime Minister Simon Harris referenced Ireland's own history of emerging from colonial rule as he announced recognition of a Palestinian state.
This is an historic and important day for Ireland and for Palestine. Taking our place on the world stage and being recognized by others as having the right to be there was a matter of the highest importance for the founders of our state.
Israel responded to the announcements by recalling its ambassadors from Ireland, Norway, and Spain. There are reports Malta and Slovenia may be the next European nations to recognize Palestine. In Gaza, the official death toll from Israel's war has topped 35,600 as the humanitarian catastrophe intensifies. The United Nations has suspended all food distribution in the southern Gaza city of Rafah due to escalating Israeli attacks and a lack of supplies. Meanwhile, the Pentagon has admitted none of the humanitarian aid brought in from a new U.S.-made pier in Gaza has actually been distributed. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has told senators that the Biden administration is ready to work on efforts to potentially sanction officials at the International Criminal Court after the court's chief prosecutor requested arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. Blinken called the ICC decision, quote, profoundly wrongheaded. Meanwhile, pro-Palestinian protesters repeatedly disrupted Blinken Tuesday as he testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Many of the protesters had their hands painted red to symbolize blood.
China. He is a war criminal. The blood of 40,000 people.
Another protester who disrupted Blinken condemned Israel's killing of 6-year-old Palestinian girl Hind Rajab.
The People's Republic of China. Pursuing
Rajab was 6 years old! An Israeli killer! Hind Rajab was 6 years old! Blinken, you will be remembered as the butcher of Gaza! You will be remembered for murdering innocent Palestinians!
According to the group Code Pink, 4 protesters were arrested during former State Department official Anne Wright, who was injured while Capitol Police ejected her from the hearing. Police violently raided a student encampment at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. At least 4 protesters were arrested, 2 others hospitalized after being pepper sprayed by police. We'll go to Michigan later in the program. Meanwhile, academic workers at the University of California, Santa Cruz, began a strike Monday to protest the crackdown on pro-Palestinian student protesters. The strike comes days after the UAW local, which represents 48,000 workers in the UC system, voted to authorize a system-wide strike. In other education news, the faculty at Dartmouth has voted to censure the school's president, Sion Bailak, for calling in the police to shut down a peaceful student protest in solidarity with Palestine. Meanwhile, the Faculty Senate at the University of Massachusetts Amherst has voted no confidence in the school's chancellor, Javier Reyes, after police arrested more than 130 at a student encampment earlier this month. Press freedom groups and the Biden administration criticized Israel Tuesday after Israeli officials seized camera and broadcasting equipment from the Associated Press in an effort to block the news agency from sending a live video feed of Gaza from southern Israel. Israel's communications minister later reversed the decision, and AP has resumed airing the live video. Closing arguments will begin next Tuesday, and Donald Trump's criminal hush money and 2016 election interference trial. The defense rested their case Tuesday after Trump declined to take the stand, even though he repeatedly said he would. Donald Trump's campaign has removed a social media video that included a reference to, quote, the creation of a unified Reich. The campaign's decision came after the former president was widely denounced for adopting a term often associated with the Nazis. President Biden accused Trump of using, quote, Hitler's language. Meanwhile, Trump suggested in an interview on Tuesday that he supports restrictions on birth control. He was questioned by a journalist at KDKA in Pittsburgh.
Do you support any restrictions on a person's right to contraception?
Well, we're looking at that, and I'm going to have a policy on that very shortly. And I think it's something that you'll find interesting.
Trump went on to say, quote, some states are going crazier than others, unquote. After facing backlash, Trump wrote on social media that he would, quote, never advocate imposing restrictions on birth control. Primaries were held Tuesday in Georgia, Idaho, Kentucky, and Oregon. In Georgia, Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, who's prosecuting Donald Trump, won a contested Democratic primary. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee, who is hearing the Trump case in Georgia, also won Tuesday. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, led prayers earlier today at a massive funeral ceremony in Tehran for the Iranian president, Ibrahim Raisi, who died in a helicopter crash Sunday that also killed Iran's foreign minister and other officials. Raisi will be buried Thursday in his hometown of Rashhad. In news from Sudan, Doctors Without Borders reports at least 85 people have died in recent days in fighting in the Darfur city of El Fasher. This comes as the United Nations is warning a genocide may already be occurring in Sudan. Alice Wairimu Nediritu, the UN Special Advisor on the Prevention of Genocide, addressed the UN Security Council.
I would like today to raise my alarm in a clear and unequivocal way about the ongoing situation in Sudan. This situation today bears all the marks of risk of genocide, with strong allegations that this crime has already been committed.
A Greek judge has dismissed a case against 9 Egyptian men accused of smuggling migrants in the Pylos shipwreck that killed some 600 people last June. The decision came just after the men's trial began. The accused men had said they were being scapegoated and are themselves victims. In the southern Mexican state of Chiapas, 14 people have been killed in attacks targeting local candidates ahead of the June 2nd election. According to one tally, at least 134 people have been killed in politically motivated attacks in Mexico this year, including 24 political candidates. During a debate on Sunday, presidential frontrunner Claudia Sheinbaum of the Morena Party vowed to continue the policies of Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador.
We are going to build a future of peace and prosperity. Our country's transformation has already begun, and we will continue it. We have results, and we are going to take them to the whole country.
Sheinbaum's top challenger, Xochitl Galvez, accused the current government of failing to fight organized crime.
Security has been a failure in this six-year term. 186,000 people have been murdered, and 50,000 people have disappeared. What has been the strategy of this government? To hand the country over to organized crime. I propose a new security strategy. No more hugs for the criminals.
If either of the two front runners win, they will become the first female president in Mexico's history. And the cultural historian and author H. Bruce Franklin has died at the age of 90. He was a former Air Force navigator and intelligence officer who became radicalized by the U.S. war in Vietnam. In 1972, Franklin became the first tenured professor to be fired by Stanford University after the school accused him of inciting students to take over a campus computer center which had ties to the U.S. military. He later taught at Rutgers University in Newark. He was the author of 20 books on topics ranging from the Vietnam War to Herman Melville. He appeared on Democracy Now! In 2000, where he spoke about Vietnam.
American fantasies made it possible for us to participate in that war, to carry out the most systematic destruction of a nation that any nation has ever done in history, and part of the time thinking that we were there for good reasons to defend peace and democracy and so on. That was all based on fantasies.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show in the occupied West Bank, where deadly Israeli raids continue. Israeli forces raided the northern city of Jenin early Tuesday morning, killing at least eight Palestinians, according to the Palestine Red Crescent Society, including a doctor and a teenager riding his bicycle. The doctor killed has been identified as Dr. Usaid Jabarin, a surgeon at Jenin Government Hospital, who was reportedly shot dead on his way to work. About a dozen others were reported injured, including a journalist. Schools in Jenin were evacuated. This is Palestinian ambulance driver Hazim Masarwa.
The undercover forces raided the area suddenly, and they were firing at any moving body in the street. You can see among those killed was a doctor, teachers, and students. These are the martyrs. The injuries were mostly concentrated in the thighs, the chest, and the head. The Israeli forces were targeting anything moving. As you can see, the ambulances were targeted too.
On Tuesday, dozens of mourners buried a Palestinian teacher killed when Israeli troops stormed Jenin. This is the teacher's brother, Tariq Jaradat.
Earlier this morning, he was on his way to school, and when the sudden raid started in Jenin, the Israeli forces shot at people, and he was among them.
Israeli forces also made 15 arrests across Ramallah, Nablus, and Tubas, as well as in occupied East Jerusalem. This comes as the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem posted video from Saturday of three or four military jeeps driving into the center of Deir Abu Mash'al, a village northwest of Ramallah. After young men reportedly threw stones, the soldiers suspected one of them ran into a nearby bakery, and two officers and about six soldiers entered it and immediately started assaulting workers there and in the neighboring shop they fled to. The young men were also beaten by the soldiers. Israel's detained over 8,800 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank since October 7th. For more, we're going to Nablus. We're joined by Mutassem Abu Hassan. He's an actor with the Freedom Theater in the Jenin refugee camp. He escaped the camp just as the invasion began Tuesday morning. We'd also hope to speak with Ahmed Tabassi, the artistic director of the Jenin Freedom Theater, but he's still in the middle of the camp, which is surrounded by others, and we couldn't reach him. Mutassem, you were in rehearsal for a new play opening tomorrow when the raid started. Can you describe what happened?
Hi, everyone, and thank you. What happened, it's happened for 73 times until now. That's one, that invasion of Jenin camp. It's the 73 invasions. We wake on the alarm of the camp that the Israeli army start to invade Jenin. I wake up and start to, you know, have an information, checking the news, what happened. It's all, it's a start with a special force that invade Jenin camp, and they are trying to arrest young guys in the camp. But then the clashes was started, and the military jeep and tanks and, you know, D9 start to invade the camp and Jenin. When it's happened, I expected that it is the invasion, because all of the situation in the last few weeks, all of people in the camps says that, or talking to each other, that we feel that the invasion, another one will happen after the July 1 and the December 1. All of us, we can feel it, like the invasion will happen in some days. In some those some days it's coming, so it's really happened. So I decided, and my colleague Khalil Al-Batran, he also the actor in the play that we rehearsing about it, we decide to go out from the camp. It's a really very difficult and hard feeling to really leave the camp. And we leave it like between the snipers of the Israeli army. We just walking and look around us that a lot of snipers there, and we just expected that the bullet will like crash our heads. So yeah, we went out. It's a really hard time or hard moment to leave the camp. Also because we know very well the need of people in the camp to be like surround each other, to give a power to each other, especially that the Freedom Theater, our theater, we work teams or our works teams from a deep belief in the importance of cultural and art. This belief, it's rooted from the statement of the founder of the Freedom Theater, Giuliano Mirchamiz, when he say that the third intifada will be a cultural intifada. And we believe really this statement and work from it, and especially in this genocide war against all Palestinians in Gaza, in West Bank, we fully understand our significant responsibility to instill hope and to instill the culture and instill life for the part to reveal, to reveal the truth about the Israeli occupation. It is crucial to emphasize the importance of remaining steadfast in the face of the collective punishment policies employed by the occupation to stify, you know, to make the Palestinian life harder, as we understood the need to convey our narrative, and our narrative, it's now be a worldwide narrative. We can see the importance of the narrative, especially now in America, in the Europe today. Spain and Ireland and Belgium, they you know believe in the need of country for Palestinian. Because that we really had before maybe 3 months at March, we decided to start a rehearsal for a new play. And we started from March until yesterday. We worked hard to do this play, and we did a lot of rehearsals. Now we like in the last minute to have a premiere, and the play, it's really really fully of ideas, because we discussed in this play the meaning of the war, and when the other person became my friend, and when that person became my enemy. So, and the challenge is, it is the first play will perform in Palestine, in West Bank, from the 7th of October. We have and we carry this responsible of this, to perform the play, because we know especially the need of people here to really Yes. Hello?
Murtaza, yes, I wanted to ask you, in terms of the continued attacks by both settlers and Israeli soldiers on the inhabitants of the West Bank, while the rest of the world is focused on Gaza. How can you talk about the escalation of these attacks since October 7th?
In West Bank, we like live under occupation before the 7th of October. It's not started from the 7th of October. It's right from 48. We live under the occupation, especially in the West Bank, and West Jerusalem, and also Gaza with the wars. But in West Bank, the settlers became more monster, like around the road between the cities and the checkpoints. The Israeli army put more checkpoints between the cities here, like to make a West Bank, it's like a villages, not a country or not cities connect to each other. They are trying to really make every city surrounded by settlement, and the Palestinians just live in these cities, and they are we cannot go outside our city. There are a lot of people killed by the settlers in the West Bank, especially like in the road between Nablus and Ramallah, and also Ramallah and Hebron. I think there are 20 people killed by the settlers. The checkpoint is really hard. From Nablus to Ramallah, it's a 1 hour by car. In a regular, in a normal situation. But now we have to really plan to go to Ramallah, because it's have 4 hours now with the checkpoints. If we want to, to go to travel, we have to escape the very tough checkpoint. And the invasion of the storm of Israeli army to every city in Palestine, it's more difficult now, but it's really happening before the 7th of October, but now it's more tough. They are shooting everything. Everything moves. That's what happened yesterday. In 1 hour, 7 people killed by Israeli army. They are, really monster, really shooting everything at children on his bicycle. He ran out from his school to go to his home, to his safety place. How he think he just have a bullet in his mind. The teacher, he is afraid of his boys, of his students. He tried everything to make the children and his students safe. He had a bullet in his mind. The doctor, he afraid, and he is quickly run out from his home to the hospital. He had a bullet in his mind, in his head. It's really horrible situation. Yesterday, in 1 hour, 7 people killed by a bullet, by a gun, and soldiers that didn't see anything, just killed. They really and destroy everything: electricity, internet, the water tunnel, the street, the buildings. They storm now. It's happening now in this time. They storm every house.
I wanted to ask you, do you have some hope now when you hear of all the young people in the West protesting Israel's war on the Palestinians and on Gaza? And when you hear now of the first European countries recognizing the state of Palestine?
It's a cultural intifada. It's a result of the cultural intifada. It's a cultural intifada. That's why we really believe on the power of narrative, especially in the Freedom Theater in Palestine, in Jenin camp. We did a tour around all the world, from Australia to America, just to say that our narrative, to let people know our stories, our narrative as a Palestinian live under occupation in the horrible situation. You know, really, I just think that this is really a normal life. Did anybody around the world now live like us? But now we really, I told you from deep belief that we just thinking that it is a normal life. When I traveled outside of Europe.
We have 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's... because it's last 10 seconds, I really want to say that is the power of narrative, because that Mustafa Shita, the manager, administrative manager of the Freedom Theater, he is arrested, and he is in the jail for the 6 months without reason. Zakaria Zubaydi, he is a co-founder with Giuliano Filhamis, co-founder of the Freedom Theater with Giuliano Milchamis, he in the prison. Ahmed Tobasi, he was in the prison, and now Tobasi, we cannot connect with them because there are no electricity, no internet in the camp.
We had actually hoped that we would be able to reach the camp, but because there is no electricity and internet, we couldn't. But Mutasim Abu Hassan, we thank you so much for being with us, actor at the Freedom Theater in the Jenin refugee camp. He escaped the camp just as the latest Israeli military raid began Tuesday morning. A number of people were killed, including a doctor and 2 15-year-olds. Next up, the Gaza Solidarity Encampment at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor is the latest to be violently dismantled by police. We're going to go to Michigan, and then we're going to speak with professors at the New School here in New York. A deal has been reached with the chancellor around a divestment vote. Stay with us. de ma délire, At the Heart of My Delirium by Miriam Gendron. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We now look at the ongoing crackdown on student-led protests in solidarity with Palestine across U.S. college campuses. An encampment at the University